Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Most gracious Father, again, we come with an attitude of gratitude, praise, and thanksgiving to say thank you for your love, your grace, your mercies, your kindness. Thank you for everything. We bless your holy and we bless your righteous name. We confess every sin of omission and commission before you. We embrace the gifts of a brand new day. We thank you for it. Now we surrender the day back to you, Father, that you will unfold this day according to your wisdom, your will being done on earth as it is in heaven. Thank you for an opportunity to serve in this capacity. Thank you for this platform. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries. Thank you for all of our partners. Thank you for all of our audience. Thank you for Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Thank you for the precious Holy Spirit. Thank you for the angels working on our behalf according to your word. Thank you that you are our Heavenly Father. We say thank you for the gift of salvation and thank you for absolutely everything. Now, Father, we ask that you would have your way today, for you're the potter, we are the clay. Thank you for molding us and making us after your will while we are waiting, yielded, and still. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thine will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forever. And our souls said amen, amen, and amen. Bless the Lord, bless the Lord, bless the Lord. Top of the morning to you, and welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership, where Jesus Christ is the King and Jesus Christ is the Lord. As we are rejoicing in this another day that the Lord God, he has made, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, God's name is great and God's name is greatly to be praised. If this is your first time with us, we're glad to have you here. Please have a seat at the breakfast table. Amen. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's say good morning to all of our ministry partners. Hope that everybody is feeling good. Hope that everybody is moving forward and rejoicing in the God of their salvation. Amen and amen. Prayer power, prayer power, prayer power. No prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power, much prayer, much power. And beloved, amen, we want to stay in the much power category because the kingdom of God is not in word, but it is in power. Amen. And so God wants to demonstrate his power through you. And this is why he tells us in Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. Power is necessary. You don't want to be a powerless Christian. See? And the only thing that makes us powerless is our prayerlessness. So when we don't pray, we don't have power. And that God didn't have nothing to do with it. Your neighbors didn't have nothing to do with it. Okay, the devil didn't have nothing to do with it. It's the fact that we just refuse to pray. See? And so what we have been sharing with you is that there's different ways that we can pray. There's different types of prayers. Okay? So you don't have to get locked into one form. See, when we read the book of St. John, chapter 15, matter of fact, write that down in your notes on this morning. Okay? Let's visit that for a minute. St. John, chapter number 15. Okay. Let's look at verse number 4. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. But I'm telling you, there are some encouraging words. There's some encouraging words there. Glory be to God. And so, beloved, that's so encouraging. There's nothing that God will not give us. Nothing that when we come to him in prayer, praying for, that God will not answer. That is so encouraging. Now, it is conditional. Okay? He says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So what are we talking about here? We're talking about fellowship. We're talking about a relationship. So look at it this way. We have relationships in the physical. We have relationships with our families, hopefully. Some type of relationship. But most families are tight. Everybody don't have riffraff, permanent riffraff. Okay, we have relationships at work. We have relationships with our friends. Okay, so let's think about that for a moment. When we think about a relationship, what is the let's just look at the main relationship, all right, husband and wife. Okay, a man and a woman married legally, holy matrimony. Okay, that's God's idea of marriage. Okay. What does that relationship, or should that relationship consist of? Okay. So we know, those of us who have been married, and you don't really have to be married to know, that it's give and take. You're giving and you're taking. And sometimes you're taking more than you're giving. And sometimes you're giving more than you're taking. All right? But it's a give and it's a take. You don't just give. If you was in a relationship and all you did was give, I mean, you would get tired of that. Okay. Although it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. See. And if you was in a relationship and all they was doing is taking, you'll get tired of that too. But a good, healthy relationship is a relationship that gives and takes. So what we started to learn yesterday, okay, so we come to God with our prayer requests, okay? Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, Lord, bless me, okay, Lord, bless me. Lord, I want this, Lord, I want that. He tells us to come boldly before the throne of grace. He tells us a proper way to come. All right, but we come and God hears us and God answers us. But beloved, when we start to incorporate these other types of prayers, now we're coming with the giving. See, now, first it was just God-given and us taking. But we see here with the other types of prayers, now we are giving unto God. It's not all about what can God do for us. We talked yesterday about the prayers of worship. We are coming now giving. Why? Because it's a give and take relationship. We are in a relationship with our Heavenly Father, the God of the universe. And we not always coming to see what he got in his hand. We coming to bless him. Give and take. Glory be to God. We talk about the prayers of admiration, the prayers of blessing. God, I come to bless you. You are praying. You are praying. But that is because prayer is, all right, let's break it down another notch for you to understand. What is prayer in its simplest definition? Right? Communication with God. Right? Well, okay. Communication with God. How do we, is not communication give and take? You in communication with your family today? Isn't that give and take? See? And so that's really all it is. We make it complicated. See, the devil wants you to, makes you think it's more than what it is. And it's just being who, simply put, prayer is you being who you are. And loving on God and accepting God for who he is. But for you to be who you are, you have to be real. You have to be, God is a spirit. We worship him in spirit and truth. You have to allow the Holy Spirit. This is the purpose of prayer. Let me tell you something. When we go to God in prayer, God hears you. He hears your petition. But you know the first person God want to change is you. Before God wants to change your husband, your children, your money, or anything else, God wants to change you. So we can begin to see things through the eyes of God. We can begin to see how God sees. God is not our genie in the bottle. He does answer prayer, but he answers it at the highest formation. That's why he does it the way he wants to do it. And the time frame that he wants to do it. Because he's working in a full spectrum. Not just no one little narrow hallway. When God answers, he affects everything around him. Everything around you is going to be affected. Not just that one little prayer request. That's how wholesome he is. That's how deep he is. That's how loving he is. See? So when we think about a happy relationship, glory be to God, someone was sharing with me some wedding pictures, glory be to God, and I said, oh, they look so happy. Oh, I love to see a happy couple. The groom looked happy. The bride looked happy. They were smiling and cheesing. Oh, boy, that brought a smile to my heart. See? When you're in love with one another and running with one another and communicating with one another and sharing with one another, you know, and every place you go, they go. I mean, just one. That's what God is saying here in St. John 15. He wants us to be one with him. In love with him, knowing he loves you. You can be cheesing too, knowing that the God of the universe is your Heavenly Father. Every place you go, he goes. Whatever you want, whatever concerns you, concerns him. Whatever you need, he got it. See? You come to him, amen, and tell him what he wants, and he tell you what he wants. Because God wants your praise. Let everything that have breath praise the Lord. God wants your obedience. God wants you. Look, I'm gonna show you what God wants. I'm gonna take you right here to one of my most referenced. I'm not gonna say my favorite Bible scriptures, because I really don't have no favorite Bible scriptures. But I do have those that I reference more frequently. Here, Romans chapter 12, the first two verses. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That's what God wants. He wants you. He wants you. It's like a couple being married, and the man is cheating. He out there, he got whores everywhere. But because he got a little bit of commitment, and because of his guilt, he brings some money home on the weekends to the wife and the children. He drop a little bit of money off, but then he taking a shower, getting all cologne down to go out there and meet one of his whores. Now that wife appreciates your money, sir, but that ain't what she's interested in. She wants you. See, and a lot of times we want to throw God an offering. You know what I mean? Say we went to church on Sunday. You know, glory be to God, did a little of this, a little bit of that, trying to appease God while we whoring around with the devil. Because when you torn between two lovers, when you cheating on God, you whoring around with the devil. And God is a jealous God. He said, I have no other gods before me. Well, I go to church on Sunday. That ain't good enough. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. We're talking about this is a lifestyle. We got to come out of that religiosity, because that spirit of religion is going to send a lot of people to hell, and you're going to be looking around wondering how you got there. And it's going to be a lot of people in hell. A lot of Christians in hell. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Hold up, Pastor. Slow down now. How can Christians be in hell? Because anybody can say they are Christian. You can teach your dog. They got dogs out here talking. You can teach your parakeet to say, I'm a Christian. You ain't no Christian because you say you know a Christian. You a Christian when you act like one, when you believe like one. That's when you become a Christian. You're not a Christian just based on what's the words coming out of your mouth. We got what's in your heart. That's why Jesus, the word said, if a man will believe in his heart, he says, rend your hearts and not your garments, beloved. So what God wants us to be real with him. Well, I ain't there yet. Okay, are you on your way? Are you closer today than you were yesterday? Are you closer today than you was last month? Are you putting any effort in this? Is there any desire in this? He who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Do you want it? A lot of us not doing no better, but a lot of us don't even want to do better. God can't help you. God can't help you. If that's the case, then God will put everybody in heaven. God don't want nobody in heaven that don't want to be in heaven. God can't help you if you don't want to be helped. If that's the case, he would just save you without you asking him. He will make us all like robots to serve him. He don't want that. He wants us to serve him because we want to serve him.
He wants us to respond to the love that he gives us. Easy to love somebody that loves you. I don't know about y'all. It is easy to love somebody that's loving up on you, that's spoiling you. Are you going to say no to that kind of love? And that's what God does for all of us, all of us, men and women. But see, what God wants is a relationship. Husband and wife got a relationship. They talking around the coffee table, talking about the good, talking about the bad, talking about the ugly. Just having this real talk. You blessing me, I'm blessing you. That's what God wants from us, real talk. Glory be to God. And a real, authentic relationship, you ain't always taking. So we see here the other types of prayers, the other type of communion, communications. We talked about the prayer of thanksgiving, the prayer of faith, the prayer of intercession, where we have been for the last couple weeks. Prayer supplications and petitions. There's also a prayer of vows, beloved. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, let's look at that for a couple minutes. Verse 10 and verse 11. So, talking about Hannah. In verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, she vowed a vow, which means she vowed a vow. She's talking to God. Amen. She's vowing a vow through her prayer. Let's see Hannah's vow, and then let's look at yours. She vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. That's the vow that she made. Now Hannah kept her vow. Ooh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Boy, we be making those vows for better, for worse, for richer, for poor. Until you make me mad that I done changed my mind. I've heard people vowing to the Lord, Lord, if you get me out of trouble this time, Lord, I promise you I will never do that again. Lord, I vow this, I vow. Ooh, not good, not good, not good. Not good, not good, not good. Amen. Glory be to God. Not good. We're going to have to spend some time on vows. Glory be to God. I can't think of the guy's name in the Bible right now. It'll come to me. I think it might have been Gideon. I don't quite remember. Y'all know the story. He made a vow. He vowed and said, Lord, if I win this battle, I promise you when I get home, the first thing that runs out of the house, I'm a sacrifice it unto you. What a foolish vow. Sometimes we make foolish vows. Well, when he got back from war, his daughter, his only daughter, the daughter that he loved, came running out. And he had to sacrifice unto the Lord. The theologians say that, you know, she was carried up to some mountain, amen, where, you know, she lived and died, never married. You know, she was isolated all the balance of her days. Whew, be careful what you pray for, saints. Sometimes when we get in desperation, We say some stuff to get out of our jam, not realizing the consequences attached to those words. Hannah made a vow. She prayed a vow, but she kept her vow. And you know it was hard for her to give up that pretty baby boy. You know she didn't want to give Samuel up. I'm sure she might have said, well, maybe, I wonder if the Lord would maybe cut a deal with me. You know, any mother know, any father know, it ain't easy to give up your babies. It is so unnatural for a parent to walk away from their children, It's unnatural, especially for a mother. It's unnatural for fathers, too. But they still do it. Even nowadays, you got more mothers walking away from their children. It's unnatural. For the last couple of minutes here, I just want us to look at this prayer, corporate prayer. I want us to spend a couple of minutes in this day. Acts chapter number 12. Turn with me there. Acts chapter number 12, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. Verse 5 says, Peter, therefore, was kept in prison, but prayer, somebody say prayer. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came unto him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, Arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, Cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and was not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought that he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when when Peter was come to himself, he said, Now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod, and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Somebody say praying. Somebody say prayer power. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, Girl, you mad. And she constantly affirmed that it was true. Then they said, It's an angel. But Peter continued knocking. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning them with the hand, told them to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, Go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. Beloved, look at what corporate prayer did. Look what happened when the people of God got together on one accord. See, you have your private prayers, And then you have your corporate prayers. That's what prayer altars, such as the one we have here in this ministry, that's what makes us so powerful. Because it's not just one person prayer. It's all of us collect. Look at one other scripture here. Acts. Stay in the book of Acts. Amen. And look at chapter number 1. I just want to show you one verse here. Acts chapter number 1. Look at verse number 14. These all continued with one accord. Somebody say one accord. In prayer. Somebody say one accord in prayer. And supplication with the women. Thank God for praying women. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. Somebody say, thank God for praying men, for praying women, for praying people. But we see here, when they was on one accord. See. That's why, if you notice in our ministry, for those of you that are part of our ministry, if you're not, you're invited to be a part of it. We try to do things decent and in order. I've been on some prayer altars. You got 20 people, everybody praying at the same time. Okay. All right. Well, that's another subject. All right. Because you can have 20 people praying at one time, but that's not my point. One person is praying, Lord, loose them. The other person is praying, Lord, bind them. Wait a minute. One person praying loose. One other person praying bind. One person praying up, the other person praying down. You're not on one accord. You're not on one accord. That's why when you pray, know what we're praying for. And let's stay focused on what we're praying for. Glory be to God. One person praying, Lord, do it in the morning. Other person is praying, Lord, do it at night. What? You're not on one accord. One person praying, Lord, heal him. The other person praying, Lord, kill him. Lord, let him die. Let Lord, help us prepare for their funeral. They ain't even dead yet. What you talking about preparing for the funeral? It's a bunch of confusion. Bunch of confusion. That's why I say let the prayer warrior pray and touch and agree with what the prayer warrior is saying so we can be on one accord. Because we saw what happened here when these brothers and sisters came together on one accord. They said, we're praying for Peter. We're praying for Peter's release. Peter is in jail. Peter didn't do nothing to go in jail. He's innocent. We're praying for his release. And they came together and prayed on one accord, and God worked a miracle, a bona fide miracle. God sent an angel to release Peter from prison. God has sent an angel to your loved one house. God has sent an angel to work on your behalf too. One can chase 1,000. Two can chase 10. There is strength in numbers. Oh, let me tell you, glory be to God. You don't think there's strength in numbers? Look at the wall. Glory be to God. The Tower of Babel. God looked down and saw them people coming up to heaven. They were seriously on their way up. I don't know how they worked past gravity. I don't know how they figured that. Well, you know, every generation gets weaker. The people that was born before us was much smarter than us. And let me just tell y'all that right now. Much more intelligent. Each generation, amen, gets a little bit weaker. This generation here, with all the knowledge that it has, we don't even come close to the knowledge that they possessed years ago. how they got past the law of gravity and all that. They was all in the second heaven on their way up to heaven. God looked down. He said, if I don't go down right now, I'm going to look up and these folks going to be in heaven. They was on their way up because of the power of agreement. You definitely can do more with working with somebody else than you can do by yourself. We can do more together than we can do apart. And the same thing works in our prayer life. Sure, God honors your prayers. Sure, amen, the prayers of the righteous avail as much. But don't get arrogant with that. Because if God held up rain for 3.5 years for Elijah, I can only imagine what God would have did if Elijah had a prayer partner. We might have still had a drought. We might not have seen no rain yet if Elijah had some people touching and agreeing with him. When America, when we come together and pray for America, pray for our countries, pray for our leaders, pray for our children, pray for the school district. When we come together and focus, amen, on something and pray, that corporate prayer, God will release angels. When we are on one accord, not double-minded. Know what you're asking God for. Come on, what's your prayer request? I like the way we do it in our ministry, especially some of our prayer leaders. They said, okay, now I just got to ask you a couple questions here. I don't want to be offensive. I want to ask you a couple questions. I love that because they said, I need to know how to pray. All right, we'll pray for a Boobaluka. Okay, well, is he saved? What are we praying for anything specifically? Let's come together on one accord. Glory be to God. You want God to bless him in his mass. I want God to bless him in his salvation. Let's come together. Can we agree? The spirit of agreement. And so, beloved, that's one of the most powerful prayers. When God's people come together. Oh, that's what makes the prayer meeting so lovely. Glory be to God. We pray our personal prayers. We pray our corporate prayers. And you need a balance of all. Because I'm telling you, your corporate prayer is only going to be as strong as your private prayers. And you need a balance of all. You need a balance of private time with the Lord. And you also need corporate time with the Lord. Because there's some stuff that needs to be taken care of. And we have to come together. Amen. Hallelujah. Build up a wall of defense. The devil can try to take down one of us. But he surely can't take down all of us. Glory be to God. Corporate prayer. Amen and amen. So, beloved, amen, we want you to know, amen, that there's different types of prayers. Some of them, amen, you come to take, and some of them you come to give. But that's what a healthy relationship does, gives and takes. And we are in a healthy relationship. We are building a healthy relationship with the Lord. So when you start to look at it like this, glory be to God. Now you see where it gets a little bit easier for you to pray without ceasing. Because you can just switch up your prayers as the Holy Spirit is leading you. You pray unto the Lord in songs. You can't stop singing today. You can't stop praising him. See, it ain't always about asking him for something. But he ain't got no problem with you asking. Glory be to God. But he wants you to fall in love with his face. Fall in love with his face. Don't you want to kiss his face? Kiss them cheeks. You know, the Lord got cheeks. Oh, my God. It's going to be so beautiful when we see him. See, you're not always running after what he got in his hand. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. See, you just don't want to use him up because he's so generous. Because, you know, some people use you up. Oh, boy, they use you up till you ain't got nothing left, taking your kindness for a weakness. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. Glory be to God. But when you fall in love with him, with who he is, let me tell you something. I'm going to say this and I'm finished. I was using analogies for husband and wife. Now, any husband under my sound of my voice, no. And same thing for the women. If a man got a woman that really love him and he love her, she ain't got to ask him for nothing. All he got to know is she needed. Homeboy gonna make a way. Guess what? God do the same thing for you. He already know what you got need. The Bible says before Daniel could even get the words out of his mouth, God said, glory be to God, I heard you from the moment. I'm going to close on that scripture right there. Let's see if I can find it right quick. Oh, yeah, God is good. No, God is not good. God is very good. Okay. Let me see. I think it's in Daniel. Chapter 10, verse number 12. Okay, Daniel chapter 10, verse number 12. Okay. Okay, let me see which version I want. Thy words were heard. Okay, I am come for your words. Okay, I'm going to have to do some more research on this because I know what I'm talking about. But since I'm here, I'm going to read this. It says, then he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand, from the first day that you set your heart to understand. Now, this is when Daniel got the Lord's attention. The day that he set his heart to understand. See, you see how God looks at the heart? You see how God looks at the heart? Delight yourself in me. I'll grant you the desires of your heart. He told Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God. You see the two things that took place first. God was paying attention to his heart. God was paying attention to his humility. And then lastly, it was his words. Your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But before the words were spoken, Daniel's heart was modified. Baby, let me tell you something. God is looking at your heart. You got to know that your heart speaks. You got to know your heart speaks. My heart speaks. Yeah, what's in there? Yeah, whatever you put in there. People may not know what's in your heart. Your pastor might not know what's in your heart. Your spouse might not know what's in your heart. And sometimes you may not know what's in your heart. But God knows what's in your heart. And that's why God allows situations to come up on you from time to time. So you can see what's in your heart. He already know. You ever had something happen to you and you start to cussing? Cussing like a sailor. I ain't mean to say that. I don't even know where that came from. I'm going to tell you where it came from. It came from your heart. But God had to squeeze you, allow you to be squeezed so you could see what's in your heart. You can see the heart is desperately wicked, the Bible tells us. No, I didn't mean to say, no, baby, you did mean to say that. No, I just got to give you the hard truth. If you take a lemon right now and squeeze that lemon, the only thing coming out of that lemon is lemon juice. Orange juice is not coming out because it ain't no orange juice in it. The only reason that evil and venom came out of your heart, even though you said you was angry, is because it was in there. And God is trying to show you the wickedness of your heart to give you another incentive to show you why you need to be on your knees praying for yourself. My grandmother used to sing a song. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my mother, not my father, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, not the pastor, not the deacon, not the elder, not the usher, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I love Bishop Lambert. I love Bishop Lambert. Bishop Lambert, he tells the women in his church, he said, if you dating a man, he said, I would get him angry on purpose. Because if you get him angry on purpose, you'll find out what's in their hearts. They can't cover it up for so long. You get them angry and you're going to see what's in. Because the only thing coming out is what's in there. That's why Jesus said, the devil cometh, but he find nothing in me. It was nothing the devil could do to take Jesus out of character because it was not in his heart. Jesus could not have cursed Pharaoh out because it was not in Jesus' heart. The only reason you acting irate is because it's in your heart and you need to be purged. You need to be changed. You need to be delivered. And you ain't always got to wait for nobody to come lay hands on you and anoint you with oil. Lay hands on yourself and oil yourself down. And get on your knees and stay there until there's a change. You ain't good. Look, let me say this. I got to say this. I'm trying to close, but I don't know what God is doing. But look, I make no excuses. I ain't going to be no blood on my hand, anybody sitting under this ministry. You not going to heaven anyhow. Now, I just got to be the one to tell you, you ain't going to heaven anyhow. You got to get your heart right. And since you can't do it, why don't you let God do it? Pleading with us. And the closer we get to him through prayer, the closer we get to him through communion, you are changed. You can't remain the same and get closer to God. He's going to do the work as we yield. What did he tell Daniel? He said, Daniel, glory be to God. Okay, what he told Daniel here. He told Daniel, he said, Daniel, glory be to God, hallelujah. From the day that you set your heart to understand and all you're getting, get an understanding. And the day that you positioned yourself in a position of humility, humble yourself before the Lord. Amen. You humble yourself and God will lift you up. So what is he saying? None of us and all of him. John the Baptist said, less of me and more of him. Beloved, we got to take it deeper and say, none of us and all of him. We live for Christ. We die for Christ. We breathe for Christ. Because the only thing that's going to matter at the end is what we do for Christ. And that's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. So if you mess around and slip into eternity with that foolishness in your heart, with that anger in your heart, with that jealousy in your heart, that's on you. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you for the word of God on today. We thank you, Father, for the different types of prayers. We thank you, Father God, for helping us to now expand, Father God, and now we can come to you in more joyous ways, Father God, and praising you and praying privately and praying corporately and giving you what belongs to you and blessing you, Father, and just happy, happy, happy in Jesus Christ. For the joy of the Lord is our strength. And God, we say thank you. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure serving you. It's a pleasure knowing you. And it's a pleasure growing in your word. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Meet us at the prayer altar today. Oh, Lord, tonight is Friday night. It's our Friday night praise party. Amen. Glory be to God. Our minister, Joanne, has been going through a lot with her twin brother. Let us pray for her. Amen. I haven't heard anything otherwise. Amen. So I believe that the praise party is still going on. Why don't y'all show Sister Joanne some love tonight and call in and help a sister out? And so she don't have to pull the whole train. Some of you that haven't called in for months. Amen. Y'all, her brother had a stroke. She's been back and forth taking care of him and all this heat, using a lot of energy. Glory be to God. Why don't y'all show the sister some love tonight? And come on and help a sister out. You ain't got to stay the whole 2 hours. Come on and bring something to the table. Make it easy. It's easy when we work together. We know you're tired. Everybody tired. Everybody's sleepy. But look, we all came and put a little something to the table. Amen. 9 o'clock tonight is our Friday night praise party. Amen. And we'll be praying at 12 o'clock today. In Jesus' name. Today is offering day here at the Lifeway Jesus Kingdom Ministries. The gospel is free, but it takes money to do ministry. Amen. So we thank God for your faithfulness, sowing. You know what? Someone wanted to bless this ministry with some money. And their friend talked them out of it because the other person was giving that person money. And they figured if they blessed this ministry with money, it would be less that they would get. And when I found out about that, you know what? It just showed me the hearts of people. So you're going to stop somebody from blessing a ministry so they can bless you. So they can give you some money. So they can buy you a pair of shoes. Wasn't that selfish? I thought that was so selfish. So selfish. Don't let nobody talk you out of your blessing. Don't let nobody talk you out of your blessing. Amen. You can, several ways you can sow. Our mailing address is P.O. Box 461. P.O. Box 461. Glenside, Pennsylvania, 19038. Our Cash App address is $LifeWordJesus, $LifeWordJesus, amen. Or you can go straight to our website at lifewordjesus.org, lifewordjesus.org, and hit the connect button there. Thank you very much, amen, and we appreciate you, and we appreciate your support. All right, we'll be back again tomorrow morning if the Lord says so. Also, I think we might be... I'm still seeking the Lord for our next theme. Prayer power is not quite over. I think we're winding down for this season. So you'll be hearing about our next theme. And you know you're going to be hearing about it because I'm going to be reaching out to you. You can just keep telling me no. Now, sometimes if somebody asks you to do something and you keep telling them no, they're going to stop asking you. If they invite you to the house, you keep saying no. They ain't going to invite you to no more parties because you keep saying no. There are some pastors, some leaders, they ask you to participate and you keep saying no. They ain't going to ask you no more. But I'm not that type of person. I'm going to do what the Holy Ghost tell me to do. You have to just keep telling me no. You're just going to have to keep telling me no.
And I pray one day you stop saying no and say yes and discover who you are and who God created you to be by your obedience. Father, help us not to be in the wrong place today. Help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. We cancel bad news. We cancel tears. We cancel sorrow, premature death, accidents, incidents, calamities. We cancel it all. We put it all under the blood of Jesus. We say thank you for your divine protection. Bless our altars today, the 12 o'clock altars. We come back tonight at 9 o'clock. Help us to lift our sister Joanne Thurman up, Father. Make it easy for her tonight. Maybe even do something different tonight, Father, at the praise party. Father, we will be, you said, bear ye one another's burdens. Help us to take action on those words tonight, Father. And we say thank you. We say thank you for this and for everything. Thank you for those sowing into the ministry. Father, bless the seed that it might bring forth 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return. In Jesus' name, we thank you. And in Jesus' name, we pray. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation. We seal this prayer by the word, by the blood, and by the spirit. In Jesus' name. And Jesus, thank y'all for praying for me yesterday. I laid back down and God showed me some people who was praying for me. He showed me y'all faces. That was so encouraging. And I got me some rest yesterday and I'm feeling a lot better today. Thank you so much for your prayers. I appreciate you and I love you. Amen. Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pastor Alfreda Philadelphia, signing out.
believe God.